We talked last week when we were together about getting to know God. And we want to take a veer off of that, or starting from that. We want to talk a little more in depth about getting to know God, but we want to talk about His will for us. We're going to start, though, by looking at the mystery in the Bible. How many of you like a good mystery? You ever watch those mystery shows or read a mystery novel, and you read along and you get a clue here and a clue there, and then something happens that you think, oh, I've got it figured out, and then, oh, that wasn't the way it really was. That was something that was just stuck in there to help the storyline along, but it didn't really help solve the mystery. And you know, by the end, you're sitting there and you're thinking, wow, who did it? It could have been anybody. Now this one had this motive, and that one had that motive, and all of these things point to this person, and this person was the last one there, and you get all these different suspects. And in a good mystery, you just don't know which one it is until it's revealed. And then there's the big revelation scene where everything is just out in the open for you to see. And when that happens, then you realize, oh, it was obvious. I should have known back at that point that this is what it was. I should have known halfway through. When they said that, I should have known that this was going to be the way it was going to end up, and so on. And we realized that we had all the clues that we needed to solve it, but unlike the master, whether it's Sherlock Holmes or one of Agatha Christie's novels or Murder, She Wrote, or whichever one you happen to be a fan of, you are amazed that this person was able to figure it out, because you couldn't figure it out. Of course, it helped that the writer already knew all the answers before they started. And that's the way it is with the Bible. As things are revealed throughout the ages, people didn't recognize what was going on all the time. They didn't know. They didn't see. But God knew, because He was the author. He wrote it. He knew what was going to happen before it happened. He had already planned out the storyline of this mystery. Of course, one of the things that comes along with mystery is secret. Most of us don't like it when people keep things secret from us. But we also like to keep secrets from others and then surprise them with it. Viola had a big surprise birthday party for her 90th birthday. And she was surprised, and everybody had fun trying to keep that secret until it was time to spring it on. Same thing sometimes when a couple's expecting a baby. They'll keep it a secret for a good while, and then they surprise everyone with it. They like the surprise, and they like to reveal that mystery that nobody else knew. Well, God has enjoyed revealing His mystery as well. Let's look at a few things. These are some things in the Bible that don't specifically refer to the main mystery that we're going to talk about, but just to point out to you what we're talking about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Don't you like it? If there's going to be a mystery, you've got to go all the way through to the end of it, because you can't be left hanging wondering what's going to happen. So a mystery, it's got to be revealed before it's any good. And so Paul says, "I show you a mystery." In other words, I'm going to reveal a mystery to you. I'm going to tell you something you didn't know before. I'm going to surprise you with something. And then he goes on to say, "We shall not all sleep, as sleep there is a euphemism for death. We're not all going to die. But we shall all be changed. And he's talking there about the second coming, when Christ returns. Not everyone's going to die, but everyone is going to be changed. He said that was a mystery. Before he wrote that, nobody knew that. Before he wrote it, they didn't know what was going to happen. For all they knew, God was going to kill everybody and then raise them up from the dead. They didn't know. And if Paul hadn't written it, he wouldn't know. But he revealed that mystery to us. There are some other mysteries. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul talks a great deal about the husband and wife relationship. And then at the end of that, verse 32, he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He wanted to emphasize that while those things apply to the husband and wife, the marriage relationship, going all the way back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, that was the first type of Christ in the church. Adam was a type of Christ and Eve was a type of the church. And so when he talked about the husband and the wife relationship, marriage was a type of the relationship between Christ and the church. And he revealed that. He said, hey, it's a great mystery, but this is what it was all about. All those thousands of years, people have been getting married, and they didn't realize the significance of it. All they knew it meant that they were going to be with this person, and that person was going to be with them, and that they were committed to be with each other. They knew that part, but they didn't realize the spiritual implications of that. That what was really going on was that God was showing us what the relationship between Christ and His church was supposed to be like. So there's another great mystery. There are other mysteries. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 talks about the mystery of iniquity. And 1 Timothy 3:16 talks about the mystery of godliness. You want to bet that those two are opposed to each other? The mystery of sin and the mystery of godliness. Those are polar opposites. But those were two mysteries. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2, he talks about those speaking in tongues if no one else was around, and he said that person is speaking mystery. And that's really what a mystery is. It's just something that someone else doesn't understand. Something that may be a mystery to you may not be a mystery to somebody else. And something that may be a mystery to them may not be to you. It's a mystery to me how they send television signals through the air to my TV set and that it, it can come. I can understand the cable TV. I get that. It's how it's going down that little wire. I get that. But how do they send it from a satellite way up there in space and then it gets down here on my TV and it turns into a picture? That's a mystery to me. But the folks that made it, it's not a mystery to them. They know how it works. There are a lot of things about computers that are a mystery to me. I have no idea how they can store all that information on a little bitty thing smaller than your pinky thing. And then put whole encyclopedia sets on little bitty thing. The pictures and all right there in that little bitty thing. I don't know how they can do that. It's a mystery to me. But the people that work in that industry understand it. There are a lot of things that are mysteries to us. I don't know how they make rubber from a rubber plant. I don't know, maybe they don't even make it from a rubber plant anymore. I don't know what they make it of. But how do they make that rubber for your tires on your car? And how can that tire, with just nothing but some air in it, hold up that big old heavy car? I know I can't pick that big heavy car up. How can that little bit of air in there hold it up? There are a lot of mysteries in this world. But they're mysteries that aren't mysteries to everyone. Somebody understands it. Somebody knows how it works. And in the Bible, there are also things that were mysteries to some, but that were revealed to others. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20, John has already told about seven stars and seven golden candlesticks earlier in the chapter. The angel, the Lord revealed to him what those things mean. Because the Lord already knew. It wasn't a mystery to him, but it was a mystery to John. John didn't have any idea. You're holding seven stars in your right hand. You've got these seven golden candlesticks, and you're walking around. What does all that mean? Well, the Lord revealed it to him. He said in verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars that thou saw in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. There's the mystery. I'm going to tell you what it is. Oh, good thing he told, because we would have never figured it out. Seven stars. No idea what that means. Well, he explains it. He says then that the seven stars are the angels or messengers of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. Oh! Well, that makes sense then when he tells Ephesus, I'm going to remove your candlesticks. What he means is he's going to take them away from being one of his churches. That makes sense now. But there are a lot of mysteries throughout the Bible. And when we understand, as we look through the Old Testament particularly, the events that occur, and what's recorded and what's not, you realize Abraham lived to be 175 years old. Now, somebody today who lives to be 60 or 70 years old, we write a book this big about that person. But you realize that the entire life of Abraham is summed up in just 13 short chapters. About this much. About that many pages. From about chapter 12 up through about chapter 25, give or take a little bit in there. And that's it. That's his whole 175 years. Now, I know he did a lot more things in his life than what are recorded there. He had to. He lived 175 years. But God only revealed the parts of his life that were important to his mystery. You know, when you're watching something on television or a movie, they don't show everything that those people do. How boring would that be? They only show the exciting part. That's why we think our lives are boring and we think their lives are exciting. Because they only show the exciting part of their lives. They don't show the boring part. They don't show them sitting around eating breakfast, getting shaven and brushing their teeth. They just don't show us that kind of thing. Unless it's an important part of the storyline, they leave all that out. They don't show them sleeping for 8 hours a day. Show that. Or in the case of some, 5 hours. However many hours you get to sleep. But they don't show all. In the same way, as God was working on his masterpiece, the Bible, he didn't reveal everything about every person and all the details of their life. He left most of it out. When you consider somebody that lived 175 years and yet probably less than a month's worth of days of his life are actually recorded. Same thing is true even of Jesus, God's own son. He talks about him being born in just a few short verses. It talks about his entire childhood from birth to age 12. And then from age 12 to age 30, it doesn't mention him again. I know the teenagers would love to be able to know, maybe they take to know, what kind of teenager Jesus was. This is that standard that they know they couldn't reach. Just like his adult life does for those of us who are adults. But we need to realize, he lived all those years, and yet not one word is said. Doesn't mention about a birthday party he had, or about the time he had liked a girl, and she you know, thought he was ugly, or, you know, he didn't have any of those kinds of things about him. We don't know what happened all those years, in his teenage years. About the first time his friends teased him, or any of those things. Because it wasn't an important part of the story. Isn't that sad? As we think about these mysteries, one of the reasons I didn't give an outline is because however far we get today, we'll stop when we run out of time and pick up. I give an outline, I'm going to give all the way to the end of that. And this mystery is so compelling, it's going to lead you into sin. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 25, Paul says that this mystery was kept secret since the world began. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7, he says that this was a hidden wisdom. This mystery was hidden wisdom that God ordained before the world. So even before God created the world, he already had this mystery in mind. Fortunately for us, he didn't keep it to himself. I don't know about you, but I have read or have seen some mysteries and other stories, for that matter, that the author should have kept to himself. He shouldn't have ever revealed it, because it was a waste of time, a waste of paper, a waste of film. It was just a waste. It should have been just never done. But God's mystery is not like that. It's the greatest of all time. And he chose how he was going to reveal it, when he was going to reveal it. It had been kept secret from the beginning of the world, and then he chose to reveal it to certain ones. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 11, and Luke chapter 8 verse 10, and Mark chapter 4 and verse 11, all three of these passages basically say the same thing. Matthew 13:11, Luke 8:10, and Mark 4:11 all say basically this. I'll read Matthew, but they basically say the same thing. He answered and said unto them, he's talking to his 12, the apostles, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Mark and Luke both record that that's the reason he spoke in parables, so that they would be able to understand it. It was kind of a secret code that the apostles would be able to understand, but the other people would. Of course, some of those, the apostles, didn't understand either. They had to ask. But then Jesus promised that they'd have the Spirit of truth to guide them into all truth. And the time came that they needed to remember what these things all meant and learn what all these things meant. The Spirit would come and teach them all these things. But notice what he said. It was given to them to know these mysteries. So he gave it to this special group. They got to know the mystery. And everybody else was just left out. Or worse. When he gave them that mystery, he also gave them a job to do. He gave them the job of revealing that mystery that had been kept secret, remember, from the beginning of time. Before the world began even, this mystery had been a secret. In one place it said that angels long to look into these things, but they didn't get to. So a mystery gets spoiled if you know who done it in the first chapter. The rest of the book's not any fun. But the way that God set his mystery up was that so no one knew until the right time. That brings us to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll stop after this. The scripture that was read to us this morning, from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. It says in verse 3 that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. In verse 4, he says, we've been chosen from before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame before him in love. In verse 5, he says, he predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. Notice that phrase, his will, because that's very important. We've got to remember that everything in this world is dependent upon God's will. And that's why we want to know, as we said at the beginning, what is God's will? We're not going to answer that question this morning. That's the mystery that we're going to find out about as we go along. And piece by piece, we're going to put that together. Because we need to know what God's will is. We know His will is important. We know that following His will is what will save us. So we need to know what His will for us is. We also need to know sometimes what His will is not. People sometimes blame God for a lot of things that weren't His fault. Let's move on. Verse 6. He says, though, the point of all of this was to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He's made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, in whom, He's still talking about that beloved one, Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, beloved of the Father. In whom, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He is abounded toward us in all wisdom. Now notice verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Isn't that great? I mean, it's been made known. So we can know it. You know, sometimes there are people in the religious world, well, you can never really know what God, you know, you never know for sure. You can't know the mind of God. Well, it's true that we can't know the mind of God unless He reveals it to us. Same thing is true with each other. I can't know your mind right now. Some of you may be sitting there thinking, wow, this is interesting. Some of you may be thinking, I'm about to fall asleep. Some of you may be thinking, I wish I was home getting ready to eat lunch. I don't know what you're thinking unless you tell me. Unless you reveal what's in your mind to me, I can't know what's in your mind. And the same is true to God. We cannot know what's in His mind unless He reveals it. The good news is He has revealed it. Right here in verse 9, He says, He has made known unto us the mystery of His will. If He's made it known, then we have no more excuse. We can't say, well, He didn't tell us. Well, I didn't know. If I didn't know, it's because I didn't try to find out. There are a lot of things that are open, they're revealed, they're free to know. The laws that govern us, they're not secret. They're revealed, they're written down, they're out there. If we don't know them, it's because we haven't gone to the effort to learn them. And I dare say, none of us have gone to the effort to learn all of them. Because, I mean, Nathan says, you think the Bible's a big book? Try reading some of the laws that our nation's passed. And some of those things, I think it's the health bill that they just passed. I think they said nearly 2,000 pages. That's just one bill. That's just one. They pass dozens every year. And one of them's as big as the Bible. So, they have teams of lawyers reading through them, trying to understand them. And all, and hundreds of people working on writing them. And I'm trying to make you glad that God wasn't a politician. Imagine how big the Bible would be if the politicians had written it. We'd have to have 57 volumes. All 3,000 pages and big, huge books this size, and we wouldn't be able to have a shelf strong enough to hold them up. But God didn't do that way. He revealed to us what we need to know, and He did it perfectly. so that we can know His will. He goes on to explain a little bit about it in verse 10. That in the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. It's all about Christ. That's the key, is Christ. And He says, in whom, that's Christ again, in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. There's His own will again. It keeps coming back to God's will. It's not our will, and we don't get to vote on it, we don't get to decide about it. It's according to His own will. That those who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of His glory. The apostle, because they were the first to trust in Christ, and then those who came after them, they're the ones who were able to bring the glory to Christ. They were the ones who were able to reveal this mystery. We mentioned earlier those two passages, Romans 16:25 and 1 Corinthians 2:7. These things were made known to the apostles. But as Paul said, now to Him that is of power to establish you according to My gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret before the world began. It was kept secret since the world began, but Paul says now it's being revealed. The mystery is being revealed. Now sometimes we have this idea that the Bible is such a mysterious book that, well, we just can't understand it all. And that's not what God intended. God intended for the Bible to be a book that reveals, not one that conceals, but one that reveals His mystery. Now we may never be able to fully comprehend, because of our limited human mind, we may never be able to fully comprehend God. But He is and has revealed this to us so that we can understand it. As well, it says, but we seek the wisdom of God in a mystery. They're speaking it. It's not hidden anymore. They're speaking the wisdom of God in that mystery. We're going to continue looking deeper into this mystery next week. Because we want to know more about this mystery and understand what God's will is for the world, for Christ, for the church, for each of us as individual Christians. What does God want from me in my life? That's really what it's all about, isn't it? And what He wants for somebody 1,000 years ago isn't going to impact me. But what does He want for my life? What is God's will for my life? What is God's will for your life? And we're going to continue heading towards that goal next time. We're going to have to do like a series of like a television season with little episodes. You know, I don't think y'all want to sit here all afternoon today. But we'll continue on that path, trying to find out a little bit more about this mystery that God has revealed for us. If you're here this morning, perhaps you know enough of God's mystery to know that you need to obey Him, but you haven't done that yet. You believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God. You're willing to repent of your sins and confess Him as the Christ. Willing to be buried with Him in baptism and wash away your sin. You can do that today. Become a Christian. Become one of His followers. One of those who has redemption and forgiveness of sins in Him, as we read about in Ephesians 1. If you're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps you haven't been living up to the expectations that God has for you. You may need to step it up. You may need the courage and the truth to hope to do that. You're here and you have an easy response, man.